Good morning, 90 333 105 077 66 105 105. What about a bridge to Scotland? There's a question for you this morning. What about a bridge to Scotland? Is there a possibility of it sometime in the future? I want to speak to Alan Dunlop from Dunlop Architects, and also to Simon Hamilton, who's from the DUP, because this is something that's been spoken about before and maybe spoken about again in the foreseeable future. How feasible is a bridge between Northern Ireland and Scotland? It's an idea, as I say, it's come up before. It's been given serious consideration after actually Boris Johnson raised the possibility of a bridge linking England and France. And let me speak first of all indeed to Alan Dunlop, who's the architect, or not the architect, I'll make it sound like as if he's already got the gig. Alan, good morning.
I wish I did have a gig. So, good morning to you too,
Alan. It just seems like, you know, if they build a bridge to Scotland, I'm going to so regret it not being here in my lifetime. It'd be such a handy thing to have. But is it doable?
Absolutely, it's doable. I mean, there have been feasibility studies carried out recently. The problem with a bridge spanning from over to Bangor from Portpatrick, for instance, has been considered the Beaufort Dyke, and that's the trench, which is 300 metres deep with all kinds of ordnance. But the Norwegians have just developed ideas for floating bridges, which spans across various fjords in Norway, and they have trenches which are much deeper than Beaufort Dyke. So we now have the technical capability, I think, to actually make something like this to absolutely achievable. In both countries, Scotland and Ireland have exceptional architects and engineers, so I'm sure that it's something technically that can be overcome.
Okay, so it can be done. Simon Hamilton, you know a thing or two about facts and figures. Is it beyond reach in terms of cost?
Well, clearly, good morning, Frank. Clearly, cost is one of those considerations. Engineering is a consideration as well, and Alan has outlined how it is now technically possible to do this. I think a lot of people, whenever the DUP put this idea forward in our 2015 general election manifesto calling for a feasibility study, a lot of people dismissed it, a lot of people poo-pooed it, thinking that it was a ridiculous idea that could never be done. Alan's contribution, and indeed the examples of other countries around the world, you know, for example, Sweden and Denmark have a connection by a bridge. There's an undersea tunnel between the two biggest islands in Japan, and of course the Channel Tunnel linking the United Kingdom with France. There are examples of how this can be done, but clearly considerations like cost, considerations like engineering have to be taken into account. But we shouldn't be limiting the possibility by limiting our ambition around this. I think, you know, imagine the possibilities that would arise for trade, for tourism, if you had high-speed rail connections and road connection from Belfast or even from Dublin through to Glasgow and Edinburgh and even beyond.
I'm just wondering, however, the Bangor idea, it'd be very difficult to provide the infrastructure to get the passengers to Bangor to go across to Portpatrick. So surely it would have to be the Larne option.
Well, I think what we had in our 2015 manifesto was suggesting that it goes from Larne to the Scottish coastline. It didn't determine precisely where on the Scottish side it might land. And the reason for suggesting Larne was that the road has recently been upgraded to dual carriageway status the whole way from Belfast, with great connectivity elsewhere across Northern Ireland then from that. And there's also a rail link up to Larne as well. So that was the reason for suggesting Larne. But of course, that, you know, this is a matter for if this was something that was taken forward, and what we've been calling for is a feasibility study to look into the costs, look into the possibilities, and perhaps how we might be able to take this idea through the early stages. It would be a matter for those engineers, for the architects, to decide where the best place to start and finish this from.
See, it sounds exciting. It sounds like something that would just be wonderful, and how beneficial it would have been through our lives. But it's coming from a man who basically blocks the idea of a bridge between County Down and County Louth, that narrow water you could spit across.
Oh, no, I've never blocked that idea.
Look, certainly, you know, not too high up the DUP's manifesto.
Well, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a bridge. I can recall the issues around the bridge were, and the way it didn't go forward at Narrow Water Bridge, was nothing to do with politics at all. It was to do with funding and the timing of funding, and I think some issues around some technical issues and perhaps even some planning issues at that time. But look, you know, that,
well, would you be in favour of it?
Oh, look, that's something that my party is in principle in favour of, and a bit like the idea of a bridge from Northern Ireland to Scotland, it is one that would have to go all through all the various stages and get approvals and see whether it's feasible. And clearly, that's one that has advanced pretty far, and it's something that might be taken forward in the future. And it's certainly not something that we're opposed to. In fact, we support it in principle.
Just stay with me there, Simon, because Alan, I'm talking about Narrow Water Bridge. I'm not sure you're based in Scotland, whether you're familiar with that one or not. But would we not be better to start small over here?
I'm trying to stay out of the politics of this whole thing, if you don't mind, and just talk about architectural and engineering ambition. The great thing about a bridge is that it's a symbol of forward-looking countries into the 21st century. We have a similar kind of problem here at our end, reaching Campbelltown. That would be the shortest distance. But frankly, the journey from central belt of Scotland to Campbelltown is tortuous. So the best route would be for us from Port Patrick across to either Bangor or Larne. I don't really know what the transportation difficulties might be in the Irish end, but we've got similar kind of problems here. But I'm sure if we put our minds to it, you know, right? I'm reminded of Plato's words, greatness stands in the face of a storm. There are challenges here that can be overcome in an architectural and engineering terms.
Well, it is interesting to know that it can be done. Of course, massive bridges have been built elsewhere in the world, but it can be done. But I'm just wondering, Simon Hamilton, we have such a fine ferry service, P&O, Stena and whatever. Do we actually need it?
There is a good ferry service, both in terms of passengers and in terms of freight. And look, you know, if you take a look at the Channel Tunnel, for example, which has been in place for quite some time, the freight services and the passenger services across the from Dover to Calais and Dover to other continental ports continues and complements what the Channel Tunnel does. And that's clear. If you take a look at, for example, in trade, there will be some freight that, no matter how good a bridge is or a tunnel is, can't actually be taken and transported in that way. So I think that this is something that would complement. It's about improving and increasing our connectivity in a way that would boost tourism, would both boost trade and as Alan said, show that symbol of interconnectedness, that forward-looking companies looking to the challenges that the future will bring actually should embrace.
And one final question to you, Simon Hamilton. I had the Secretary of State on earlier in the programme. She's optimistic about these talks that start tomorrow. Are you optimistic?
Yes, I heard her on, and I agree with her that we need devolution back. There are big decisions in health reform and reforming our school system and getting a budget in place that need to be taken. There are day-to-day decisions that are building up right across departments, and the people of Northern Ireland are suffering as a result of those decisions not being taken. The DUP wanted to go back into government immediately after the last Assembly election back in March. Sinn Féin have been a barrier to a return to the executive. They've drawn many red lines and they've set lots of preconditions and they've drafted a big long shopping list. I believe that we can reach agreement. I think we can build on progress that has been made, but that will require a significant dose of realism on the part of Sinn Féin. They cannot go into the talks tomorrow looking for what I've described before as a 10-0 win. They need to be realistic if they want to reach a deal and if they want to help us to get devolution back up and running again and delivering for the people of Northern Ireland.
And what about if they just scored twice? You give them the Irish Language Act and marriage equality and went from there.
Well, it's not a matter of chalking off things from this. We need to reach an agreement that is capable of gaining support on all sides. We don't move forward in Northern Ireland with the sort of divided society that we have unless we have agreements that are capable of being supported on both sides. So that will require negotiations, that will require us working together to find a way forward that everybody can support.
Simon Hamilton, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you. And Alan Dunlop, you don't want a final overview on the political situation here?
Oh, crikey. And I'm staying clear of things in Northern Ireland after Michael O'Neill turned down the Scotland job. So I'm happy to talk about architecture, but not give you really any other opinion on the politics of the situation or football, which I'm very disappointed about.
How disappointed are you didn't get Michael?
Oh, I'm very disappointed. All the talk in Scotland and the football radio channels here was the prospect of bringing him over to be the manager of Scotland. And we were all looking forward to that and disappointed now that he's turned a bit. You know, it's understandable. He's done a brilliant job at Northern Ireland and we're disappointed, but we're hoping they could do the same for Scotland. We really need it.
Why were you all so cocky that you were going to get him?
Because we have this idea that in Scotland we are a big football nation, you know. and a bigger, if you don't mind me saying so, a bigger football nation than Northern Ireland. Now, why wouldn't he want to come to a bigger football nation? Now, he's obviously had a look at it and decided that, you know, the prospects for him as far as the manager is concerned is best served by staying in Northern Ireland. And good luck to him, right? And I hope they do well.
Absolutely. He's one of ours. He's still one of ours. Alan, be interesting to see if they ever build the bridge. Thanks for speaking to us this morning. Thank
You're
you.
You're welcome.
That's the architect Alan Dunlop, Simon Hamilton from the DUP. We're heading towards the news at 10.